If we had more time, we'd show all of the video, but you can watch it on YouTube. I'm on Waitoto Children's Choir, what would you call it? Focus right now. My kids are like, what are you listening to? Anyways, part of it was to get ready for this, but their videos are amazing. And has God lifted you up? And God and His mercy does lift us up. And that video is our story. God takes us, well, He sees us first in our need, our helpless need, like an orphaned baby, and He welcomes us. Oh, good. Maria, I'm going to blame this on you. In fact, I was like, I'm putting Kleenex in my pocket. And He welcomes us into His rich home. He clothes us, and He feeds us, and He sings over us, and His kindness makes us great. And today, we are going to focus on the kindness and goodness of God. So, what is kindness? Kindness is tender concern for others. It is grace which pervades the whole nature. One other verse says, be seasoned with salt, and salt, if you think of that, so I think of kindness actually as like salt, where it gives us a taste. So it's a grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all which would be harsh and austere. Kindness is a tender heart and a nurturing spirit. Part of the reason I showed this video, I think as women, we can all understand nurturing. So it's promoting life, nurturing life in others. My teenage kids will come home and say, Mom, what did you do all day? And I have a number of young children again in my home. And I'll say, I was sustaining life. I think that's all I did, but I sustained it for the day. So in the broader scope, it's nurturing life in others. And coupled with that is goodness. And goodness is not a mere passive quality, and think on this, but the deliberate preference of right from wrong, the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil, and the choosing and following of all moral good. And, you know, I was so convicted listening to Maria this morning just about even the power of prayer. And even with that, you know, there's a spiritual battle, I think, that we all have where we're always having to deliberately refocus, choose, and follow. And it really is a daily thing. So useful kindness, and this was a theme as I was studying. In fact, there's this word that I can't even pronounce called beneficence. That's probably the only time I'm going to say it. But so it's like a useful kindness. So it's like love and kindness and action. And that's going to be where I'm going with this message. But anyways, useful kindness refers to meeting real needs. Divine kindness is the spirit-produced goodness which meets needs and avoids human harshness. And beneficence is action that is done for the benefit of others. It's actions that can be taken to help prevent or remove harm or to simply improve the situation of others. And God is our ultimate benefactor. And Ephesians 2 outlines this very well, and I'm just going to read it. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him. Sort of like that video, I've been lifted into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And Maria, thank you again. I feel like I didn't even need to talk this morning. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. By grace we have been saved, and it's not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in my reading, I was struck actually because the opposite of kindness would be cruelty. And I was reflecting actually on just how cruel we can be left to ourselves and even in our judgments. And Matthew talks about this. Then the soldiers took Jesus and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. You know, in ourselves, we might not physically do like the soldiers, but we can mock God in ourselves and resent his authority and lash out in different ways. But for we ourselves, and this is Titus explaining our condition, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, it really is his story. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs, adoption again, according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. Okay, so in Ephesians 2, and now again in Titus, we have this shift, and I noticed it as I was reading. So we're not saved by works, but then we could say, well, we're not saved by works, but now, God, you're telling us, be careful to devote ourselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. So why is this said? So I started writing out why, and it was like 500 words, and I'm a chatterbox, so I was like, oh no, how are we going to do this? Anyways, Maria, I feel like we have this. Anyways, yesterday in my devotion on Proverbs, I was like, oh, this is like three sentences, and it says it all. So I was going to bring the book, but I just got my first phone thingy. It's actually not even a phone. And so my book's on there, and it's by Timothy Keller. And it's called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. And even this shows God's mercy with just with what he's asking us about good works. And this is what Timothy has to say. Actions shape the heart. Walking on a path always takes you somewhere. Life is likened to a path because every action takes you somewhere. Modern people think feelings determine what we do, and that it is hypocritical to act loving if they don't feel loving. Proverbs, however, tells us that our actions shape our feelings. God made us this way. I'm saying that, not Timothy, okay? So start doing actions of love. Take that path and you will see your heart changing. And that is true. Now, as we practice the kindness and goodness of God, living beyond ourselves, where do we begin? And what voices do we listen to with what we devote ourselves to? And I just have to say, there are so many practical directives in the Bible, and I just think it's the best place to start. And even sometimes when I've thought that maybe what I'm doing is maybe not the right thing, sometimes God has actually shown me, and actually he uses other methods too. I was recently just thinking, oh, maybe I'm crazy with some of the things that I do. And even that video that we just saw, God spoke to me through that, through the picture of God's care for children. And often I'll be praying through, searching, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he'll talk to me right through the, like, through the scripture reading. So it's so important to read the Bible every day. Anyways, just as an example, I just wanted to read part of Romans 12 because I just think it's so practical into what real kindness and goodness looks like. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's an example from scripture, and I feel like we all could go home and just meditate on that. I know I need to. Now, like so many good things that the Spirit produces in us, I just wanted to talk about a few roadblocks our flesh puts in the path of kindness and goodness working through us. The first starts with self, because there's just so much with that word, in its self-righteousness. And there's always a battle between ourselves or our flesh and the Spirit. Now, kindness and goodness come from the freedom to abandon focus on ourselves and focus on actively loving God and then loving others. It's a gift that flows from the heart that has been given everything. And it is an amazing thing to be an active hand of God in the lives of others and to be used for good. But somehow our focus can shift. I know I can begin to focus on myself, on trying to impress God, to earn his favor, or to earn the favor of others with how good we are. We can begin negotiating with God. If we do favors for God, he owes us back. And when this happens, we need to give ourselves a shake and repent of this way of thinking and go back to Ephesians 2. By grace we're saved, and he's lifted us up, and it's his work in us. Even I was looking at an artist's work this morning and the beauty of what she had made, and even that's a gift. Our talents, all of it is a gift, and growing in the fruit of goodness is grace. Now, the second roadblock I want to talk about is just confusion about what God asks us to do and what is not ours, what we have not been given. So the fruit of the Spirit, let's all say it, ladies, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, I don't have this written down, gentleness, and self-control. So sometimes we can start to have the illusion that we have maybe other attributes like being all-knowing or all-powerful or all-present. So anyone who's done the good work of being a mother might try to be everywhere for their children. And, you know, I don't have eyes in the back of my head, but I can track my kids on their cell phones. It is so great, actually, and I have used it. Oh, my word. Anyways. But I can't be everywhere, and it's actually a good thing that I'm not everywhere. And that's something where we need to trust. We can also have the illusion of being all wise about certain situations and fall into meddling, where we can think, you know, if they would just listen to me. And with all these things, we're actually, it's so much about self. We're turning back to ourselves. But God is God, and we are not, and we need to remember that. And a powerful verse for that is, for me, you have but one teacher, and you are all, we are all sisters. Since I don't think there's any guys in the room. Anyways, we're also not all powerful. We can't put our hand to every need we see. We need to pray. And as we follow God into benevolence, it's humbling and true that often we have to start building a team because we can't do it on our own. Even with the Missions Expo, it's a beautiful thing when a team comes together and starts working together. And honestly, when Len and I first considered adopting, and I started reading stories about other families that adopted, a common theme was that they needed outside help, whether it be from a professional counselor about certain issues or whatever. And I just remember thinking like, oh, I don't really like that thought. I'm a firstborn child. I like to seem like I have all my ducks in a row. And I don't think I want to be vulnerable like that. And humbling as it is, it's actually also so good. And it opens us up in ways that it's actually hard to explain. And God talks about this. We're called as Christians the body of Christ, and he calls us to live in community. And that can be challenging in our highly independent age where we, it's just a big thing to do things independently. And always, so the reminder with this roadblock is we always rely on God, who alone is all wise, all knowing, and all present. Now, the third obstacle I want to talk about is just plain old pain and discouragement. And Romans 12 had told us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Evil is powerful, but goodness is more powerful. And light overcomes darkness. Sometimes we can feel overcome by the evil in our worlds. Maybe it's our own habitual sin tendencies. Or as we begin to go out among others, as Jesus did, sin can just be overwhelming. And we can even wonder if it's worth the effort. Scripture talks to this in Galatians 6. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith. Sometimes discouragement can be intensely personal. Maybe you feel you are seeking God and you are trying to serve him, but you are struggling through a season of discouragement where everything you put your hand to seems to fail. All seems barren, and you feel like you're in a desolate wilderness. A few years ago, okay, gotta get my Kleenex out again. Okay. A few years ago, I was going through a personal time of discouragement in ministry. there had been hard things in different areas of ministry. We went to North Bay, which is a place my husband and I used to live. We went there for Easter, and on the first day, we went to visit our adopted grandma, Pearl Winterberg. Now, Pearl had been a missionary in the DR Congo for most of her life. She had been our friend and a near neighbor after she had broken her hip. I think she was in her 80s or late 70s. She had had to be brought home from Africa. And she was a precious friend. During our visit that evening, the nurse pulled me aside to reveal that she was very close to death. The nurse knew the signs, and said she just had days. And she asked if I would notify those that needed to know. Her normal caregivers were away. Pearl had been single her whole life. And her normal caregivers were away, and they were amazing, but it just, you know, sometimes things just turn quickly. So we were so thankful to have gone to visit at this critical time. So my weekend plans changed as I stayed at Pearl's bedside for as much time as I could and began communicating with others so that we could be a team to be with Pearl. Now, the first night I brought Pearl a beautiful hydrangea. And the next day, as I was sitting with Pearl, I looked over, and the hydrangea had totally died. It was pathetic. And I just sat there, and you got to remember, I was fairly low, like holding it together on the outside, but I just prayed in my mind, and I said, Lord, I feel like this flower represents my life right now. I try to do something and it just dies right in front of me. I think we've all been there. Anyways, okay. Now, Pearl, she was in great pain, and I'm thankful we live in a country that does have pain medicine. But she needed to get it under control. Those who have walked this journey know that it can just get out of control. I called the nurse to give her more pain meds. And the nurse that came was a bit gruff. I don't think she realized that Pearl was near death. Sometimes when you're in a big facility, that can happen. Anyways, Pearl wept in my arms when she left. This lady, one of the first midwives in Canada, a single missionary who had saved so many mothers' and babies' lives, who lived in a jungle community with snakes, so far from her homeland, wept in my arms as physical pain wore her down. And she just said, I am such a fool. I am so sorry that I'm crying. And she just said it over and over again. And I could just hold her and say, Pearl, this is hard, and you are not a fool, and it is okay that this is hard for you. And that nursing home began to nurse my own heart. Her cry was my cry, and often our own cry in this broken world. This is hard. Life can be hard, and there is pain, but this is okay. God loves us, and he comforts us. I'm thirsty, Pearl would say, and she couldn't even lift her arms by this point, I don't think, and I would wet her lips with a glass, and then God reminded me, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple. Truly I say to you, he will be by no means lose his reward. Lord, can I give a cup of cold water? Yes, Lord, I can give a cup of cold water, and maybe you can use that. And somehow, through the privilege of walking with my dear Pearl through some of her final days, especially when she needed us most, God restored me and strengthened my hands to continue in what he had asked me to do. I knew I needed to be with her just as much as she needed me, and God alone orchestrated it for us both. And that is how God works his good works. It's for us. I think more sometimes than the people we minister to. So going back, just wait a second. Going back to Ephesians 2, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God planned in advance for us to do. We ladies are God's work, and God has plans for each of us they're different, as different as the gifts that God's gifts are different. And my story will be different than yours, but we can all glorify God as he works in us. So my friends, do not lose heart. God is for us, and God is in us through faith in Christ. And God can work through us as we live through his Spirit. So do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you that you are God, that you are all-powerful, that you are all-knowing, that you're all-loving, and that you are everywhere, seeing everything. And Lord, in our land there is darkness, but you are the light. And I pray that you would work, and that your light would shine through us, help each one of us in the areas that you have called us. And Lord, I pray if there is someone who hasn't come into your light, that they would step into your light and come to you for forgiveness and reconciliation, for you are good and kind. And we are so thankful for you. You write stories of our lives that we could never write on our own, and we thank you for that. And we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.